This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. We are here in the studio with Sister Cecilia of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and we're actually celebrating the 150 years of service. I can't believe of serving the poor. You've been doing this so long.
Yes, we have.
Well, welcome. Yes. Welcome to Faith in Action. Why is this year so special?
Well, it's special because we've been serving the elderly poor for 150 years in the United States. So that is
really amazing. And you do amazing work there. And I think one thing that that comes to mind that we were talking about earlier before we got started was how John Paul II really encouraged the youth to respect and love the elderly, and that they were somewhat forgotten.
Yes.
But you really are involved in ministering to the elderly, and I know you want to get youth more involved. So talk a little bit about John Paul II's love of the elderly and what you're doing there to serve them.
Well, Pope St. John Paul II was considered the Pope of the Youth, and Pope Francis could also be called the intergenerational Pope, because from his first major encounter with young people during the celebration of World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in 2013, Pope Francis has urged young people to reach out to their grandparents and other elders. And that's what we do every day at the Little Sisters. At World Youth Day in 2017, the Pope asked young people to be bridges to the elderly. To young people today, to young people, life asks for a mission. The church asks them for a mission, and I would like to give you this mission. Go back and talk to your grandparents. Today we are in need of it more than ever. We are in need of this bridge of the dialogue between grandparents and young people, between the old and the young. And we see that happening every day here in Indianapolis at our home. The Holy Father then evoked well-known words of the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel says this to us as a prophecy: the old will dream dreams and the young will prophesy. Namely, with prophecies, they will take concrete things forward. So this is the task I give you in the name of the church: to talk with the elderly. Listen to the elderly person. Talk to them and ask them about things. Let them dream and draw from those dreams to go on, to prophesy, and to render that prophecy concrete. This is your mission today. This is the mission that the church asks of you today. And here at our home, we have three young women spending the summer with us, college-age girls. And they didn't know what they were getting into, praying with the sisters, taking care of old people. But they have fallen in love with the elderly, and the residents just respond so well to them. It's been a joy to see them.
And there's really such a unique gift that the elderly can give to young people and young people can give to the elderly. And I'm sure you see that.
We do, yes, yes. There's so much wisdom that they have and that they're willing to share if somebody will sit down and listen.
And so, you see so many young people today kind of going off the rails, so to speak, but yeah. If they, you know, were to talk to their grandparents and listen to them,
yeah.
Gee, I sound like the Pope, and listen to them, they would get some wisdom. They would see
that's
that, you
right.
know, there are some good reasons for doing all these correct things, to do things the right way.
Yeah.
And the young people would benefit much more so than the people they think they're serving.
That's true. That's true. So that's what we're reaching out to the young people, to come and listen. See how you too can make a difference. Come and discover the beauty of belonging to the Lord and following Him along the way of the Beatitudes. Come and join us, and you will experience the happiness we have found in being a little sister of the poor.
So if a young person was listening right now, they could volunteer, right? What
yes.
kind of opportunities can they do? Like when they come to volunteer, what can they do?
Well, they can sit and listen to the residents. They can tell them about what they're studying in school. The residents are very interested in that. We have beautiful grounds and the weather is lovely. They can take them in their wheelchairs and go around the little walkways to all the different shrines around the house. And of course, their favorite is they can go down and play bingo with them.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. And so if you're listening right now, we're talking with Sister Cecilia. She's of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and we're talking about the celebration of the 150 years of serving the poor. So do you have any events coming up with respect to this celebration?
We have a big event coming up on Thursday, August 30th. That will be the opening of the Feast of St. John Jugan. There will be a special mass. The Archbishop is invited, and there will be tours of the home and refreshments for everyone. It will be a very special day.
And that's open to the public? Everyone's welcome?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's great. And the date again was?
August the 30th.
August the 30th. All right.
So, what are some of the things that people take away when they visit the home and that they serve the poor? What kind of experience do they have? How does it impact their faith, I guess?
I would say there's two things they take away. One is a sense of peace. And then the second would be a sense of joy and wisdom of the elderly.
And for you, I mean, how has it really helped you, I guess, in your faith walk? I mean, have you had the same kind of experience with elderly? What's it been like for you to serve in the capacity that you have? Making the residents happy, right?
That's right. That's you got my pat answer.
I got the buzzwords there, right?
Yeah, making the elderly happy. That's what I get up every morning and want to do, and that's what I'm when I go to bed happy in the evening, because I've made our residents happy. That's the main function of our life as Little Sisters of the Poor, and we do it in many ways: giving them good nursing care, praying with them, serving their meals, giving them fun snacks and fun entertainment. But our thrust is to make the elderly happy.
And I think, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor, like, I just thought they were just in Indianapolis, but they're all over.
They're really all over, and all over the world. And it was very interesting the way we came to the United States. It was, you know, shortly after the Civil War, and we took care of the elderly of all races, of all religions, before anyone else did. When we opened our home in Washington, D.C., we had a special act of Congress to be able to take black residents in, because that was not done in those days. And Congress gave us the permission to do that. And it was very, very interesting how we opened. And then in Cincinnati, Sarah Worthington Peters, who was a wealthy Episcopalian lady, went over to France and begged for the Little Sisters to come in 1857. But our congregation was too young. The sisters only spoke French, and we weren't ready to start in the U.S. But she kept asking, and she went to Rome, and she was a friend of the Pope, so she asked him. And
hey, big guy,
yeah,
can you give me some help?
So eventually, yes, we came from her asking us. We came to the United States, and first went to Brooklyn, New York, and then to Cincinnati, and then to New Orleans, and then spread all over the U.S. And then Father Isaac Heckert, an American Redemptorist, he was very interesting too. He was a convert to Catholicism, and he started the Paulus Fathers here in the U.S., and he was the first person to give a monetary devotion to the Little Sisters. So that was...
Now, the Little Sisters get funding from a number of sources, but I know that sisters appear in the churches usually once a year or once every couple of years. Is that a big source of the funding for Little Sisters?
Both. It's a big source of funding, and it helps us to be known among the people, yes. We love to go to the churches, and the priests are very receptive, and the people are very receptive to us. And one of the sisters speaks at each mass, and we hold a basket, and people are very generous to drop in more than coins into our basket.
I know here at Catholic Radio, we get out sometimes and are able to speak at the end of masses and kind of a similar thing. But there's a number of priests in town who say, no, we don't do that, except for the Little Sisters.
Ours, we have a history of doing it so long, it's very hard to close the door on us.
Oh, yeah. Who can say no to the Little Sisters? In fact, they were just over at Our Lady of Mount Carmel not too long ago.
We were,
and
yes.
I thought she did a wonderful job. And I just think that there is such a gift that you give, not just to the elderly, but to the larger community. And I think people just mm-hmm. absolutely love you. So, you know, we love you too, you know?
Thank you.
So for those who want to find out more, we do have a webpage. It's www.littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org. So if you want to volunteer or make a donation, you can do that there. Can you tell us a little bit, again, give us that date for that event that you have coming up in
August the 30th, 2018.
And tell us again what that is.
2019. what is it? It will be a special mass, and we'll have all kinds of visual things to see. And, of course, we'll have our residents whom you can talk to and the Little Sisters. And
they're the main attraction, right?
They certainly are, yes. And there's plenty of good food, gourmet food. We're going to try having food stations, so you won't have to stand in line to get a plate. So there'll be food stations in all three of our dining rooms and in our auditorium and all around the house. So you'll be able to sample things as you go around to see the home and see the residents.
About how many residents do you have there?
We have 97 residents now. Yes.
So a goodly number of residents there.
Yes, and so, 8 Little Sisters.
So people can come out and join the fun and celebrate your 150th anniversary, correct?
And meet our lovely residents.
Absolutely. Well, Sister, we're actually out of time, but God bless you. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations on 150 years of serving the elderly poor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Black women have been told to limit the number of children they have to escape poverty. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart Today, but Star Parker says that's a lie. She knows because she had 4 abortions using it as birth control. She says, prior to receiving Christ, I continued to go in and out of abortion clinic after clinic until it wasn't after the 4th time I had a gut instinct way down deep inside that there must be something wrong with killing your offspring. Not only did her conscience awaken, but she was still on welfare. Abortion was not improving her circumstances. Today, Star is working on improving lives in the Black community through responsibility, self-reliance, and faith. You can help save women and babies from abortion. Join us as we partner with Preborn.com to provide an ultrasound for a woman in need for just $28. Visit Preborn.com today or dial #250 and say keyword baby. #250, keyword baby, to save babies and souls today.
So, what are you afraid of? Some people are so afraid of the pain they never face their own wounds. So afraid of death they never live. So afraid of being hurt they never form friendships. So afraid of failure they never take risks. Fear stops us from living. St. Paul had reasons to be afraid. From 2 Corinthians, he said, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was pelted with stones, 3 times shipwrecked. I spent a night and day on open sea. I've been in danger from rivers, bandits, my own countrymen, the Gentiles. But he also wrote, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? No. In all these, we are more than conquerors because of him who loved us. What are you afraid of? Our lives are fragile, so fragile it's scary. If we look to ourselves for security, maybe we should be scared. So maybe we shouldn't do that. Trust him. Be more than a conqueror. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Welcome back to Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, everyone.
And we've got a great guest this segment.
Yeah, we are talking with the police of chief.
Chief of police. Yeah, that's okay.
I've got dyslexia. The Southport police chief, chief of police.
There you go.
I'm going to be in trouble. Tom Vaughn, welcome. Yeah,
thank you.
Welcome to
much.
Faith in Action. And we're tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about Southport, what you do as the chief of police.
Sure. I've been in police work for 23 years now. This is my 5th year as the police chief at Southport. We've done a lot of, we focus more on the community policing in Southport, where we're actually getting out of the cars. We have a bike team. We actually have a mascot. His name's Justice. And the Southport Elementary School had a competition to name him.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so he goes and hands out awards and that kind of stuff with them, and then any fundraisers.
What's he look like, or she?
He's a bulldog, and actually an officer who wears it.
Oh, that's
fun. So it's kind of like a college mascot.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah, it really is.
So we're going to talk a little bit about law enforcement and safety and school safety.
And when you told me, Bridget, that this was going to be about school safety, I was thinking, you know, of walk carefully in crosswalks and lock your bike and different things like that. And not that I haven't heard about all the other school safety, real safety issues that are in the news, and really that's what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, when Jim said that, I was visualizing, you know, when I was a kid, you wear the
little belt.
Yeah, the belt, and I thought that was like so cool. Like
I had a badge.
Yeah, I had a little badge. Yes, we had a badge too. That's right. And that was like so a Catholic schools. You know, I mean, every school did it, but I remember getting to do crosswalk duty. But things have advanced, really,
as we grew up.
Yeah.
That's what people thought of as school safety.
Yeah.
Today, it's a whole different issue.
It is.
And, of course, it never happens in Indiana here, we thought.
Right.
Up until, you know, a month or so ago, a couple of months ago, when it did happen, up in Noblesville there. Southport has been blessed so far with no incidents. But what sort of planning and do you do up front to kind of in regard to that?
Yeah, and we actually had a credible threat about a month ago we worked really hard with the Perry Township School Police, and we were able to arrest 3 kids.
Oh.
We took 15 rifles.
Oh, that's serious.
And some guns. So, yeah, one of the good things about Perry Township Superintendent is he is very proactive when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, they've secured the schools, so you can't just walk in. Anytime they think there's a threat, he'll call and we'll send extra officers over. Mm-hmm. So we show that force. And a lot of it is educating. We actually had a student give us the tip on the last one. So, you know, we're trying to push that, see something, say something, you know, you're not a narc or a tattletale if you do it. Mm-hmm. You're saving lives nowadays.
Mm-hmm. How do you distinguish between real and like a fake? I mean, there's some kids that think a big joke will call the school and say there's a bomb and watch everybody scatter out in the parking lot. It'll be a lot of fun. How do you determine that, whether it's real or not?
And we've had that in the last couple months also, where we actually trace the Facebook post to Oregon. So it takes a lot of manpower. And I can't tell you how many different agencies were working on that. I know Greenwood, IMPD, the school police, us. I mean, it's a huge manpower to be able to trace all that down.
Sure.
And it's not easy, especially with technology. It changes before we can keep up with it.
Oh, sure.
So we take everyone serious because it is such a daunting task to figure it out.
So basically, you can't really joke about that. That's not a joke, because there's so much involved. Mm-hmm. And you know, before all these type of things happened, you know, maybe when I was in high school, you could do a practical joke.
Sure.
But now there's no way you can't.
You could end up in jail for just the joke, even if it is only a joke.
Right. And you might not. And so I've told my kids, you know, because, you know, we live in the time of Marvel, you know, the Marvel movies. And really that's what we're all consuming. And in fact, you know, our guest today is secretly Iron Man. I told him it looks like Iron Man. He doesn't have the suit, but it'd be pretty good, you know. And my kids will be like, Mom, you actually said that? But no, really. And I think you like that title, don't you?
You're
happy with that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's something that it's very scary. Mm-hmm. And what's changed? Because my dad and I were having this conversation. You know, guns have always been around. I mean, my dad's saying, you know, we all had guns. Yep. You know, it's like we take them to school. We show show each other our guns. You know, it's
the
like
back window of the truck.
Yeah, exactly. So what? What's changed? I mean, is it the availability of a gun? Is it the type of guns? What is it? What's changed? Why are we having this problem from your perspective as the chief of police?
Well, and yeah, like you said, we've always had those type of guns. It's not a gun issue. It's an education issue. A lot of times when you look at PlayStation and a lot of these things that these kids are consuming their day with, they have 10 or 15 lives. Life to them is not the same as it was to us.
Good point.
When I went to school, I never thought about getting shot. You know, that wasn't something we did. You know, now there's actually games out there that they can do school shootings. You know, so it's a lot of that. It's a lot of the family values. You know, we see now, you know, my parents were together their whole life.
Mine
I've been married 31 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a commitment, and you felt, you know, you took that serious. And nowadays, we got a lot of single mothers working two or three jobs. Give the kid a PlayStation, put him in a room. A lot of these that we've investigated lately, they didn't even know they had half this stuff in their room.
Mm.
You know, so it's a lot of the single mothers, you know, trying to fight to do that, you know, raise your kids, plus be able to feed them. And I think it's just we need to get back to the values, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the values we learned in Catholic schools growing up, you know, and start looking at what our kids are doing on a daily basis, mm-hmm. instead of just saying, he's quiet, he's in his room.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he's in there making a bomb for school. That's not a good thing, you know?
Yeah, so, and it seems like kids are, you know, when you don't have a mom and a dad, and even if you do have a mom and dad, you know, you could still have problems, but it seems like there's kids are angry.
Yeah.
You know, that they're alone, mm-hmm. they're isolated, they're angry.
Society is angry.
I mean,
road rage, we never heard of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might have been 10 years ago, it might have been an obscene gesture or a horn honk.
Yeah.
And today it's...
Now you're getting shot at.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And you know, that's one of the other things. You start looking at that every time. My wife and I were at dinner the other night, and I have a rule on Friday night, it's date night. I leave my phone at home. It's just her and I, and, you know, my assistant chief handles
Good
it.
For you.
So that's kind of how we do it. But we're standing there, and there's 50 couples waiting on a seat, and they're all doing this, texting.
Yeah.
They're not even paying attention to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is a big problem in here. There's nobody knows how to communicate anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody does this anymore. Everybody sends an email text.
to the person across the table to see how they're doing.
They actually have texting dates where they'll take them on a date and text each other the whole day. And I don't understand that. So I think, I mean, that's what I see anyway from my side of it.
Sure. Now, getting back to the school safety, what sort of precautions are in place in Southport at the schools there?
One of the things we've done is we've got all the agencies that are near or in Perry Township to start training together so that we are going to
collaborative effort.
Exactly what everybody's doing. And the school's done a great job of putting more security features, either getting into the building, once you're in the building, how do you get in the building, you know, those kinds of things. And then we're trying to set up into something now where we meet more often, where we can sit and kind of talk about different schools that did different things, mm-hmm. and will that work down there on mm-hmm. the south side.
And it seems like the paradigm in terms of keeping kids safe in school if there is like an intruder or an active shooter or something like that has changed. And I think my kids learned first it was just lock down, hide.
Right.
Now it's it's like run away. Is that true? Or tell us how maybe the paradigm shift in terms of training for school safety has changed from your perspective.
Our biggest thing we tell them now is run. If you can run, run out of the school. If you can't, then you hide. Your third thing is fight. So it's run, hide, fight is what they're teaching in a lot of schools and businesses, and then teaching them where to hide and how to hide. You know, don't run into a door that, you know, you barricade it, but it opens the other direction.
Oh.
And so we look at those kind of things. And teachers have gotten really on board on now where they're talking to just their classes. If this happens, this is what we're going to do. And then as far as, you know, the police side of it, we're not waiting for two or three officers to get there. One officer gets there, he's going in, and we're going to try
waiting.
And find that threat.
You're going right in.
We're going to go in and try to find that threat and then eliminate that so that we don't get as many kids hurt or killed.
Now, are there any resources? Like, I mean, if people can obviously get in touch with you, mm-hmm. But are there any resources online in terms of school safety? Like, you know, how to, because kids are scared, parents are scared. Not super scared, but, you know, you don't want to live in fear, but...
Yeah, and most of them would, like I said before, is you reach out to your local police department. We can do a lot of those. One of the new things that our new building we have is a training center, so we're going to start doing a lot of that for the parents there so that we can talk about maybe their issues that they're having and not so, you know, widespread.
And every school is different, right?
It is, yeah.
Any things that a parent could look for? I mean, every one of those shooters mm-hmm. is somebody's child.
Right.
And
yes.
are there signs that a parent could look for up front to say, gee, maybe, just maybe, my child might be moving in that direction or thinking about that?
And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, you know, paying more attention to what your child's doing. You know when your child's depressed. You know when they're angry. And when you see those kind of things, if you can't help them, reach out to somebody. Get them to be able to sit down. You know, bullying is the biggest thing right now, and they only take it for so long. And then the second thing to that is not giving them access to your weapons in the house. We have to lock them up. It's not like you were talking, I went in my grandpa's house and there's a shotgun behind every door. Yeah. I never even thought about touching it.
Yeah.
But we got to try to eliminate those tools for them to use also. But the parents have to understand that we need to get them help now.
Well, we'll be praying for you in your role, because you know it's scary to be out there. But thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Tom Vaughn. He is the chief of police at the Southport Police Department. God bless you and your work.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Rory's an incredibly fit young man in training with the Marines. One of his comrades is flat out chubby. During training, they had to do 60 burpees in 8 minutes. If you don't know what that is, Google it. It's a painful exercise. Marines were snickering at Rory's friend and he was about to give up. Rory got right in his face and shouted above all the other voices, "You look at me. All you see is me. All you hear is my voice. You can do this." And he did. A week later, Rory's commander gave him the challenge. "Everyone do 60 burpees in 8 minutes. Rory, you do 80 burpees in 6 minutes. At the end of his strength and unable to go on, his friend ran out of nowhere to his side. "Rory, you look at me. You can do this." And he did. When life's exhausting you and negative voices cause self-doubt to creep in, Jesus is there at your side shouting at you, "You listen to me. All you hear is me. All you see is me. You can do this." Listen to him, friends. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Like many women, Corey understood the truth that life begins before birth, and yet she succumbed to her boyfriend's pressure for abortion. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart Today. Such pressure causes many women to act against their own beliefs and values when they agree to abortion. Yet the Bible says, even if we are faithless, God is faithful. Among the natural consequences of Corey's faithless choice, her boyfriend left anyway, and she deeply misses the child she once rejected. Yet God has turned her mourning into dancing through the love and support of Christians who cared and shared the healing truth of God's Word with her, and today she's working to advance godly values in our culture. You can help save women and babies from abortion. Join us as we partner with Preborn.com to provide an ultrasound for a woman in need for just $28. Visit Preborn.com today or dial pound 250 and say keyword baby to save babies and souls today.